sermon today is called Challenged by Change. I'm using Hebrews 11, verses 25 and 27. I'll also be using Malachi 3, verse 6. Let's read those verses. Hebrews 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a sin. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Incredible changes have taken place in the past 50-100 years, and we're experiencing more change than ever in history. The rate of change is so great that we barely catch our breath before another blast of changes slams into us. Everything from familiar with this changing. We are forever on the move, doing things, eating stuff, working, jogging, riding, marrying, divorcing, shopping, you name it, it's going on right now. The pace, as one man put it, is somewhere between maddening and insane. People are coming and going 24 hours every day. Look at the interstates. Wow, they're busy, and most of our streets in the city are choked in traffic. It never stops. And look at some people. Their faces reflect the tension. The air is polluted. The earth shakes, the malls are crowded, nerves are shot. Some streets are dangerous. An author wrote, "This is the age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash, the bright night with nerves tight, the plane hop and brief stop. It's the age of the lamp tan and sharp stand, the big shot in a good spot, and the brain in strain, and the heart in pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps, and the fun is done." That quotation came from a writing about changes in this world on the internet. Change is a constant companion in our fast-paced lives. Listen to these statistics about America. Every day, now I'm talking about every day in America, as things go on. 108,000 of us move to a different home. 18,000 move to another state. 1,000 people move to Florida every day. The United States government issues 50 more pages of regulations. 40 Americans turn 100. 5,800 become 65. So let's stay in America every day. How about 176 businesses go bankrupt? Well, 689 new ones start up. And 100 Americans become millionaires. Also, Americans purchase 45,000 new automobiles and trucks and smash 87,000 every day. More than 6,300 get divorced every day, while 13,000 get married every day. You realize we eat 75 acres of pizza every day. We eat 53 million hot dogs. We eat 170 million eggs. We eat 3 billion gallons of ice cream. We eat 3,000 tons of candy. More information has been produced in the last 30 years than in the previous 5,000 years. More than one half of the scientists who ever lived are still alive today. 90% of all the items in the supermarket today did not even exist 10 years ago. It's been estimated by the colleges that 50% of college graduates are going into jobs which did not exist when they were born. It's also been estimated that 90% of the business in the United States today were started in the last 25 years. These kinds of changes are taking place in every field. How about the field of travel? That's changed. Listen to a story about more than 200 years ago, George Washington traveled from Virginia to Washington, D.C. by horseback. It could take him 10 days traveling at a speed of 25 miles per day. Today, our astronauts can fly and enter a space shuttle and travel at 25,000 miles per hour. At that speed, you could fly from New York to San Francisco in 8 minutes. Even with all advances in air travel today, it's possible to have breakfast in New York, lunch in Dallas, dinner in Los Angeles, and your luggage be lost in Mexico. One man put it this way. My great-grandfather rode a horse, but he was afraid of the train. My grandfather rode on a train, but he was afraid of a car. My father rode a horse, but he was afraid of the airplane. I ride an airplane, but I'm afraid of the horse. Since the 1930s, movies have gone from being silent movies to unspeakable movies now. Some are so trashy you can't even go watch them. Should not go watch them. Since the 50s, my days, saw my first TV in 55. They had three networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, and now we have 750 channels. And I can't even find one harder worth watching, but by the time we do find a program we want to watch, it's already over. And so many of these television talk shows, I listen to one, and I just realize they're becoming just a big grab bag of dysfunctional people talking about their miserable lives or how they made it. Many changes have turned our world into a war game. How about the politics? Political corruption abounds. Crime rate escalates as domestic violence. Gang wars. Drug traffickers really plague our communities. One out of every four households in the United States will be touched by theft or a violent crime in this year. One out of five women of childbearing age will have abortion this year. In the year 2024, 1.5 million babies were killed. Within our memories, we're thinking way back, abortion in those days was a felony in virtually every state in America, which I realize we're trying to make that again, which would be good. Today, abortion knows a commonplace. Every 4 seconds, a woman is violently assaulted somewhere in America. How about one in every four members of the church or religious worker is a victim or survivor of sexual or domestic violence? Drug abuse, suicide, sexual disease and AIDS, same-sex marriage are all made for the problems that should be concerned for every one of us. Look at the category of our schools. In the 50s, a major discipline problem when I was in public school in the 50s was cigarette smoking, skipping class, running in the hall, spitballs, chewing gum, whispering in class. Girls couldn't wear pants, they had to wear a skirt, except one day a year when we had pants day. Today, the major problems are danger weapons, kids carrying guns, kids carrying knives, kids even carrying assault weapons. And this now is being followed by arson, drugs, vandalism, and drunkenness. Briefly in Florida, though, a high school teacher observed a number of boys in a corner of the gymnasium on their hands and knees. Running up to the boys, the teacher demanded, "What are you all doing?" Well, one of the boys looked up and answered, "Well, we're shooting dice today." And the teacher responded, "Oh, thank goodness, I thought you were praying." Relationships are changing. 50% of our marriages now are in divorce. And the odds are, when a couple walks down the aisle to be married, their marriage will not last 7 years. One of them will walk out before the warranty of the refrigerator runs out. 42% of our young people say they have been sexually active. And one out of every 16 teenage girls has a baby each year. Our society has abandoned them. Our society has abandoned God's laws and relationships and now they're inviting their own. They erase a state where common decency is no longer common. All are doing without God has really outdone us. With all these changes creating chaos and crisis, we as the body of Christ, the church, we're trying to hang on. Just look how the change has made an impact on churches across the country. 80 to 85% of our churches in America are on their maximum plateau or declining every week. The number of unchurched Americans is escalating to 60% or more in this century. 2/3 of our children in America are receiving no religious training. We're facing years ahead. It'll become increasingly difficult to minister, and I can see it happening in some ways already. The church is dealing and will be dealing with issues that no one could have imagined 50 years ago when I started preaching. So as our world appears to be whirling out of control, racing toward a collision with certain calamity, what can we do? Well, that was all the negatives. Let's talk some things about the positive, what we can do. Well, first thing we've got to remember something. First thing you've got to remember, God is in charge, and God never changes. Our world is in the grip of the infinite, all-powerful God of the universe. He is in control. He never loses track of what's going on. He never gets confused. He never frets over decisions. He always makes the right decision. He always knows what he will do even before the circumstances arise. God has a grip on the reins of the world, and his purposes will be carried out. Scriptures speak of our changeless God in his changing world. When we read in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." These words were spoken, though, in a time of great change. Worship has become flippant and casual as people give their leftovers to God. Today, the moral law of God has been disregarded, especially concerning marriage. Divorce is a national disgrace to the churches. The Lord commanded that the tithe is being ignored to the economical determinant of the nation. And neither priests nor people took seriously the threat of the approaching judgment. In this kind of a world, but they had the same things back when Malachi was on earth, the Lord was reminding and warning his people that he had not changed. So we must do something else. We must have a renewed vision. We must have a passionate and clear vision of what God has called us to do and of what we need to do. Too often we take our feet off the pedal and look so long in the rear mirror at past glory. Someone said, "When we have more memories than dreams, life is over. When we have greater memories than dreams, we'll never make a difference in changing the world of our God. We know where we're going and what we're not, and we are going to do. You know, we got to know where we're going and what we're going to do. There's a story about the 88-year-old late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes was traveling on a train. Conductor came by and asked him for the ticket. Judge Holmes searched his pockets and fumbled through the wallet without success. Conductor was sympathetic. He said, "Don't worry, Mr. Holmes, the Pennsylvania Railroad will be happy to dress you. When you reach your destination, you will just probably find your ticket and you can mail it to us." Well, that conductor's kindness did not put Justice Holmes at ease at all. Holmes said, "My dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket. My problem is, where am I going?" Most of us are experiencing a similar problem. We're sold on a ticket idea, but we don't know where we're going. We must dream great dreams. The challenge before us is to aim high. Low aim is a crime, it's a sin. God told Isaiah 43:18-19, Do not call to mind the former things or ponder on the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. He says, you know, we can have memories, but we don't want to dwell on them, and try to go past the past. But we have to do something new. God is a God of new ideas. God is an idea of new innovation. God is a God who uses change to his advantage. We must pray for new visions. We cannot be content with what is. We must pray for what can be. That which holds our attention, though, will determine our actions. I read an article about people, and it said this about people. If you want to be depressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look up. See, when we focus our attention upon the Lord, setbacks become springboards. Obstacles will become opportunities. Barriers will turn into blessings. Cowards will become courageous. We can learn from Moses in Hebrews 11:27. Our text today is one of them. It said, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as he had seen him who is unseen or invisible. Those last words are words which instructed Moses, for his eyes were on God and he was able to endure. Another translation said, Moses kept right on going. One other translation said, he never flinched. Moses had a staying power even with all the changes that challenged him. He kept his eyes on God, not the obstacles. He endured in his 80s, in his 90s, and in 300s. He endured people's contempt of Pharaoh. He endured the stubbornness of the Hebrews who grumbled and maligned him, complained and rebelled. He endured amidst the criticism of those closest to him, like his Miriam, his sister, Aaron, his brother, Dothan and Abram, his companion. He endured as you see him who is unseen. He fixed his eyes on the Lord and never looked back. You and I can do the same. We can endure by fixing our eyes on our Lord. Then we'll be courageous. Even when conspirators seem to prosper, even when the wicked seem to be winning, even when the pressure seems to be unbearable, even when the critics won't shut up, even when big people act contemptibly small, even when we feel as though we're all alone, even when wrong is enthroned and truth is fighting for existence, whatever it is that you're facing, look up to Christ. As you stand on the edge of a new change, a new challenge, a new commitment, look at Christ. See, we must fix our eyes on unchanging Christ. O thou who changes not, abide with us in all changes. With our eyes on Christ, we can go forward fearlessly, knowing the things which are shaken will only reveal the eternal and immovable God. Bring on the changes. World, go ahead and go on. Why should I fear the darkest hour? Listen to this poem. Or tremble at the tempest's power. Jesus comes, cease to be my tower. Though all the flocks and herds are dead, my soul's famine needed no dread. For Jesus is my living bread. Against me earth and hell combined, be on my side, his power divine. Jesus is all and he is mine. Jesus, remember, God, Jesus, ordinary people totally committed to him to make a difference in changing the world. One person can make a difference. The Boston Tea Party heard, it yet remains to see what God can do with a man, woman, young person, totally dedicated to him. A famous evangelist said, I'll be that man. God used him in his evangelistic meetings to lead thousands to Jesus. And we can say today, all of us, that it still yet remains to be seen what God can do with a man, a woman, or a young person fully dedicated to the Lord. So step out now and say, I'll be one. Life gets exciting when we give our God our all. And when we do, God will take us beyond where we thought we could go to things that we thought we could never do. Then we'll make a difference, one at a time, each one. But your life, half of 2024, is gone. Remember, while everything else is changing, God's word has not changed. Only man has changed. Let's close in prayer.